I said. You know what? We were just having a fire prayer back there before I came out. And I want to continue it right now, what I was praying. Father God, I speak a blessing over this church today. I bind the devil and every demon of hell that would try to stop us from doing what you called us to do in Las Vegas. Lord God, you were speaking things backstage just now. Lord, we're not going to just sit here. We're going to go out and start taking Las Vegas for you again. We're going to go out with new, fresh vision, new revelation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing on this place today. Thus be it in Jesus' name. That's just the end of my prayer backstage. I got fired up. Some things are stirring, Ty. I told the guys back here, let's have a 10-day revival here, and let's come out here every night of the week and have healing lines. Let's start coming out here and doing something. Got some ideas. Got some ideas. Well, right now, I'll get myself back together and deliver to you what God's told me to deliver to you today. But that prayer I just prayed, I'm telling you, God spoke something to me backstage. We used to sing an old song in the Pentecostal church. What was it called? It was called, Hold the Fort for I Am Coming. Baloney, hold the fort, my nothing. We're going to knock the walls down and go out and take the captives and bring them in. I'm going to tell you something right now. God is birthing something right now here at this moment over this church. It was backstage. I'm not going to say anymore. God's birthing something right now. You will remember this day. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm going to go to my sermon now. I'm not going to say anymore. Just remember this day. Father God, anoint what I have here in Jesus' name. I did not know what I was going to preach, as is often the case. I went to bed last night and said, God, what do you want me to share with these people tomorrow? I woke up this morning and I felt I was supposed to take some of the message from last week that I spoke and speak it here today. And I'm going to talk to you today about the kind of people that God uses. Being used of God is a really crazy good thing. I want to be used by God. I want to be in His story. I want to be a part of His story. I want to be a part of the book. Now, when I'm used of God and used by God, God moves through me or whatever to do something great, it does several things for me. Number one, it makes me know heaven is real. When I talk about my 100 God stories and how God did these things that no man can explain, I know that that's God who did that. And if it's God who did what He said He would do in His Word, then also everything He said is real, including heaven. And the thing that all of us fear probably the most is something we shouldn't fear at all. To die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When God uses me, it gives me assurance of salvation. The Bible says, test yourself and see that God isn't in you. He is. Number three, it gives me a spiritual high that protects me from the bondage of sin. We were all made to get dopamine highs. We were all made to get high in life. And when you serve the Lord, you get dopamine rushes. And you get high in Him. Amen. And you're not desiring a high that comes from the world. Number four, it gives me assurance of heavenly rewards. Look at this verse, Hebrews 6:10, the New Living Translation. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you've shown your love to Him by caring for other believers as you still do today. See, do you realize that the devil wants to get all of you into sin so that you will stop serving God? That's one of his main purposes of the bondage of sin. To get you to a place to where you're worrying about all kinds of things. Your attention is divided so you stop serving God. You know who's a danger to society? Is the born-again person who gets up in the morning and leaves their burdens on the altar and goes out and says, I'm here for you. That's a dangerous person in the kingdom of the world and someone God can use. Now, we're going to go back and look at the Christmas story, but I don't want you to see this as a Christmas story. It's the Bible. Let's don't classify that as that's a Christmas story. No, it's the Bible. Now, when God makes a decision to come to this earth in the body of his son, he looks out and has to find some people to help him make it happen. And we're going to look at those people that helped him make it happen. Do you realize that God wants intimate fellowship with you? He wants to be involved in your world. He always has. In the Garden of Eden, it says that God walked with them in the cool of the day. He would come into the garden, it looks like, every day and walk with Adam and Eve and talk to them, and they would share their thoughts with him. He would share his thoughts with them. After man sinned in the Garden of Eden, then God said, I still want to be with you, so make a tent and call it the tabernacle. And wherever you go, take this tent with you and put it right in the middle of the camp so I can be right there with you. After that went by, he used the Urim and Thummim, said, I'll be in this breastplate of the high priest, and I'll talk to you, and I'll commune with you through that. After that, Jesus came to the earth. And God said, I'm just dying to be with you. So I'm going to bring my son, and he's going to come to the earth and live among you. After that, the Holy Spirit came, and he resides in us. God's always wanted to be close to his people. He wants to lead them, he wants to guide them, he wants to talk to them, he wants to console them, he wants to counsel them. Yet in the church world at large, we've forgotten about this personal relationship with the Lord. Now, when God wanted to make himself known on earth, he needed some people to help make it happen. And he searched. And he found two individuals and two groups of people, and he said, I can make it happen with these people right here. Now, keep in mind these two things before we get going this morning. Number one is, God still wants to manifest himself on this earth. He wants all of us to be pregnant with Jesus. He wants us to take Jesus out into the world every single day. And again, in order to do that, you've got to put your burdens on the altar in the morning and believe that he's going to take care of them. And then go out for other people. He still wants his son to be seen on this earth. And number two, he needs the right kind of people to make it happen. Now, let's look at the Christmas story, and again, there's two individuals and two groups of people I want to talk about specifically, and I'll be quick. Let's look at the first person, and in each one of these individuals and groups of people, we're going to see at least one reason why God probably used them. And the first person we're going to look at is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, most theologians tell you that Mary is probably around 15 years old when she became pregnant with the Son of God. 15 years old. Now, for those of you that are out of a Catholic background, I had to say this in Bakersfield because a lot of people are out of the Catholic background. Mary was a blessed person. Man, she was blessed. She was privileged. She was honored. But she's not divine. You can't pray to her. You might as well pray to that TV screen. Mary is not divine. If you will look at the Christmas story, after the Christmas story, in the book of Acts, Mary was among 120 people gathered in the upper room who had to be born again, just like everybody else. But she was privileged and blessed. Yes, she was. Let's look at Mary, Luke 1:26 through 30. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. Now, this word is so important because the root word to this word is grace. The Bible says all of us believers have had grace bountifully poured out upon us. So every one of us in the room, if the Lord was to greet us today, would say, favored ones. Every one of us are favored and accepted by God. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed. Now notice, she's not blown away at this stage about the angel's presence. He must have looked somewhat normal at this point, because she's not worried about that. Her first concern was, I was perplexed at the statement. What is this guy saying to me? What does he mean by that? And she kept pondering what kind of salutation this was from this person or this angel. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now, we're going to look at one possible reason why God chose Mary to use her in this story, and it's this right here. Mary wasn't moved by what others thought. She played for an audience of one. See, when you think about this, and you realize that society and culture has changed from that day to this day, but people have not changed. Tongues were wagging, count on it. This little 15-year-old girl, she was living under a lot of pressure. Think she didn't know what people were saying in the community? They were going, did you hear about that little Mary girl? She says that she's pregnant with the Messiah. Poor little thing, I knew she was always kind of weird. She thinks she has Messiah. Well, you know what I think? I think she's a little tramp that's been messing around and she made the whole thing up. Well, you know what I think? She's a liar. And that little Joseph boy better get away from her. She's trouble. You know that was happening. And yet Mary never, never fell or fell to the pressure. She never fell under the pressure. I mean, think about it. Mary could have very easily had a nervous breakdown. She could have went into depression, became suicidal. If it was this day and age, she might try to abort the baby, run away. But see, God knew beforehand. He said, I want to do something phenomenal on the earth. I have to search and find a young lady that won't bend under the pressure. I got to find some young lady who's comfortable in her skin. And he looked and he searched and he found the right young lady. I really believe with Mary, the thrill of being used by God was so much more powerful than what people thought. That's why if you're around me any length of time, I get caught up in these God stories, and I start telling these God stories and telling them. And I know some people think I'm crazy. I know that. One day when I was leaving church, this is true, and you probably heard this before, but I left and I said, God, I told a couple of God stories today, and there are people out there that think I'm crazy. I can see by the look on their face, they think I'm crazy. And I said, God, I was driving down Brundage Avenue. If it's okay with you, I think I'm going to stop telling the God stories. And I'm going to become a little more, you know, rational. And God spoke to me so real. And he said, I didn't save you and bring you into a lifestyle to come down to their level. Bring them up to yours. Amen. Now listen to me. That's why I can't not share these God stories. Because I'm so excited about what God has done through me and in me that I don't care so much about what other people think. Amen. I've got to get it out. I've got to let it out. Mary was comfortable in her skin. Listen to me. God wants us to care more about what he thinks than others think. God can't use people pleasers. Let me ask you a question today. If necessary, are you willing to be ostracized, ignored, and possibly rejected for your beliefs? if willing, or if the, you know, if circumstances turn out that way, are you willing? People are going to talk about you if you live godly. You know what? We have a club, and we ask them to join, but you know what? They have to go to church on Sunday, and our club meetings are Sunday. Jiminy. You know, they even tithe 10% of their money to that church? Pfft, what fools they are. They think they can pray and change things. Did you hear that? They think they hear God? Oh, that's crazy. Let me remind you of something I said a few months ago, and you might write this down if you don't remember. But our expectations in life determine to some degree our peace in life. What do you mean? I shared with you some time ago, a pastor in New York's waiting for another pastor to come, and the pastor gets there and he says, "I'm sorry I'm late, but the taxi cab I was riding in had a fender bender accident with another taxi cab." He said, "Oh, I bet that taxi cab driver gave him a piece of his mind. I bet he cussed and flipped him off." He said, "No, he didn't do any of that. In fact, neither taxi cab driver did much of anything." "Really?" He said, "You have to consider. They're driving a taxi in New York, and in New York, you expect fender benders. And you don't get all excited when one happens." What I'm trying to say is this: if you expect that quite possibly, because of your faith, you're going to be laughed at, ostracized, and rejected, when it happens, it won't be that big of a deal. You won't lose your peace because you'll say, "I expect it." Look at 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, every single person who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Every person will be persecuted. Everyone who wants to live godly. What does that mean to live godly? I'll show you a man that lived godly in the scriptures, Acts 10 and 2. It says, he was a devout man, a godly man, and he feared God. Somebody that wants to live godly will be someone who fears God. Do you fear God? Oh, you bet I do. I'm fearful of losing my anointing. I'm fearful that God would chastise me. I'm fearful that he would not be happy with me. And a godly man also, he's feared God, but his whole household feared God, so he must have some kind of influence. He gave money to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. That's a godly person. So Mary, God had to search high and low to find a young lady that would play for an audience of one and say, "I don't care what people say about me, I'm going to do what God told me to do." That's number one. Second one's Joseph. Look at Matthew 1, 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." That's the name. "For he'll save his people from their sins." Did you notice something here? Joseph didn't believe Mary. He didn't believe she was pregnant with the Messiah. That's why he was going to put her away. Say, so he was a righteous man. He wanted none of this. So he was righteous enough and good enough that he wasn't going to embarrass her, but he was going to put her away. He was going to break the engagement off. So Joseph at this point did not believe. He believed that she's either making it up. He didn't know. It was drama that he didn't want to get into. So why did God use Joseph? I'll tell you why right here. Because Joseph had simple faith in God's word. God knew. When he looked down, he said, "I found the girl. Now I got to find the guy." And he says, "I know Joseph. Even though he's going through something that doesn't make sense, he will listen to me when I speak. I know that for a fact. All I have to do is tell Joseph, and if I tell him, he will do exactly what I tell him to do." So I've got the combo that I can use right here, Mary and Joseph. Now, notice that Joseph didn't believe at first. But when God spoke to him and said, "Joseph, don't try to figure it out. Just obey. Stay with her. Don't divorce her. Don't break the engagement. And when the baby comes, you shall name him Jesus. He didn't say, I got to get counsel over this. I need to think about it a few days. He obeyed. Look at Matthew 1, 24, 25. And Joseph woke from his sleep and did exactly as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And when he was born, he said, we named him Jesus. I can see Joseph coming to Mary saying, hey, you got a few minutes. We got to talk. I am so sorry. I didn't believe you, Mary. I didn't believe you. I was going to break the engagement. And Mary, an angel appeared to me last night. He told me this is right on. And if you'll take me back, man, we're going to keep this thing going. We're going to bring God glory. Would you forgive me? God knew that, though, before he chose him. Let me ask you a question. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to do whatever God tells you to do without understanding why you should do it? Are you willing? Are you willing to sign your name on a check and let God fill in the amount? Let me use myself as an example. I'm sorry I use myself as an example a lot, but here's what I truly believe. If the stuff I preach is not working in my life, why should you believe it? If the stuff I preach was not working in my life, I would not be nearly as enthusiastic as I am when I get up here. There are times when God's going to tell you to do stuff that will make absolutely no sense at all. And I'm sure most of you are like me. If I prayed this prayer once, I prayed it 100 times in my life, saying, God, you know me, you've tested me. I will do anything you tell me to do, as long as I know it's you. Now, along with that, there's some stuff he's already told us to do. Bless those who persecute you, pray for your enemies. This can go pretty deep, okay? But I want you to know, you think it was easy for me to throw all my chemotherapy away when I had a short time to live and the doctor said that was the only thing that was going to save me, but God told me to throw it away and I did? That wasn't easy. Now, he might heal you through chemotherapy, don't follow me, but he told me to throw it away. Do you think it was easy to start the church that you sit in this morning 20 years ago when we didn't know one single person in Las Vegas and we signed a $750,000 lease and then I went and cried in my car because I did it? That was not easy, but God said, go to Las Vegas. And it didn't even need to make sense, Ty. I've learned after 45 years of serving the Lord, it doesn't need to make sense as long as you know it's him. Do you think it was easy to go down last year on the beach and pray for a seal audibly and openly with 30 people around me, a seal that was practically dead? No, but God said, do it. And if he said, do it, we're going to do it. See, what you don't understand is somebody say, I never hear God. God won't speak to people unless he knows they will do what he's telling them to do. If you will do whatever God tells you to do, and he knows that, he'll speak to you constantly. Constantly. He just has to know you'll do it. One of the harder things I did, and I've talked to you before, but I lost a great friendship. A great one from a person that I would like to be friends with because I had to tell them they couldn't speak in our church 2 weeks in advance. They were already scheduled. They were going to display their new book they had written. They're up there, man. They're well known, but God spoke to me 2 weeks before and said, you can't let them share from your pulpit because they're sharing some beliefs that I'm not cool with. That's not easy to do. Now, again, putting all this together, God said, I've got to do a phenomenal work on the earth. I need a young girl, a young lady that doesn't care about what people think, and I need a young man that'll do whatever I tell him to do without trying to figure it out. He found Joseph and Mary. Look at 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Next, the shepherds. Why did he use the shepherds? Let's look at this. The shepherds had positioned themselves correctly to be used by God. They were in the right position. Now, the shepherds were in the place God wanted them at the time he needed them. If you read back through the Bible, King David, before he was king, when David was a young man, where was he at? He was out doing a menial task on the Bethlehem hillside, watching over his dad's sheep. That's what he was told to do. That's where he was supposed to be, doing that menial task, and God found him there and promoted him. Joseph was doing his time in prison, and he was doing it with everything he had. He was there not because of his own doing, but because of divine appointment. Paul was in the church of Antioch doing probably menial ministerial serving things, and he was doing it faithfully, 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 faithfully. Ruth was remaining loyal to the person who had been loyal to her, and she was doing it faithfully. Now listen to me closely. Don't be so quick to leave the job God has put you on. If God has had anything to do with you being there, don't be so quick to leave. Because that very job might be the place that God finds you at and promotes you to bigger things. Don't be so quick to leave the church that God has called you to be in. I discussed with the men back there today, we don't come to church to be fed primarily. We come here to serve all these people that go here. You won't find many churches in Vegas that has more hurting needs than this church right here. We got people that are hurting. We got people that are poor. They're in a bad way, and we don't have enough people to counsel them and help them and encourage them. Don't leave what God has called you to. Be faithful. The Bible says if you're faithful in small things, God will give you larger. Don't be so quick to quit your marriage. When Debbie and I were younger, we wanted to divorce several times. We had strong discussions on divorcing, but we knew that God said no. And we hung together, and boy, are we glad that we did. See, it might be your launch pad. The job you're at now, the place God has, might be your launch pad for something greater. I had an older pastor in the gym last week or 2 weeks ago. He's probably about 50 years old, and the guy has never been married, and he wants to be married so badly. And he goes around, and he takes small churches. He takes one in the mountains, and he'll pastor them for a while until they find a pastor, and then he goes over here, over here, over here. And he's very frustrated. And so I looked at him one day in the gym. He said, just pray for me. I said, I'll do better than that. I'll tell you something, and I'll pray for you. We're going to ask God to lay a city on your heart and lay a church on your heart that you have a burden for. Then you go to that church in that city, and you stay there, and you don't move. You keep serving there, serving there, serving there. And from there, you'll probably even find the wife you've been looking for. The Bible says a double-minded man receives nothing from God. You decide where God has put you, and you give your all there and be faithful, and then God will find you for the next thing that he wants you to do. But you got to be faithful in small things. Now, I mention this almost every Christmas, and you would think after mentioning it at VBF, the big church, for the last 6 years that everybody had heard this, but my wife told me that people gasped around her, letting her know they'd never heard this before. And I had people write me going, oh my gosh, that was so cool. Well, years ago, it might have been 9 or 10 years ago, it was right before Christmas Sunday, and I went to God, and I said, God, I'm confused about something. Why was your son born in a manger with goats and sheep and donkeys? It almost sounds like a fable, a children's story. I mean, why not in a nice hotel? Or this was your son. Why? I don't get this part of the story. It bothers me. And God, through a segment of events, he turned me on to something that's so cool, and I'll just share the highlights with you. I believe with all of my heart today, Jesus was born in Migdal Eder, which is a sheepfold right outside of Jerusalem in the hills of Bethlehem. It's called the Tower of the Flocks. It's in your Bible. Migdal Eder was a specific place right outside of Jerusalem in the hills of Bethlehem where they did one thing that no one else did. All they did in that sheepfold was raise sheep for temple sacrifice. That's all they did. They were right there by Jerusalem. And of course, every time a little lamb was born, they had wrap it in swaddling clothes because, see, a lamb that was to be used for sacrifice couldn't have any scabs, any scars, any bruises. So they'd wrap them real carefully when they were born to protect them from any kind of scars or scratches or bruises. And so every lamb they raised there was used in the temple for a sacrifice for people's sins. What a fitting place for Jesus to be born. right there in that manger in Bethlehem, under that tower of the flocks. I mean, after he died and resurrected, you think these shepherds weren't on a high? They're going, duh, we should have seen it. The Lamb of God who was slain for the people's sins was born among the lambs of God. Unbelievable. You say, why do you bring this back around? Well, I bring it back around because you know there had to be some shepherds that quit that job the year before, 2 years before, because they didn't get along with the foreman shepherd. They didn't get along with the other shepherds, so they quit. And now all of a sudden they come back and they go, guys, I heard what happened. You guys saw angels last night? They said, oh yeah, they were all over the sky. They were singing praises to God. You saw that? And you went and saw Messiah? You saw the baby Jesus? Why did I quit the job? Why? And now, according to my opinion, I believe it's quite possible that they could have said, guys, you're now on speaking tours traveling the land? Yeah, they're probably traveling around the land doing a sacrificial lamb 7-week series. They could add things to this story that you've never seen. They could say, here's 10 things you don't know about sacrificial lambs, and these 10 things are true about Jesus. Whoa! These guys were sought after. But why? Because they had positioned themselves in the right place at the right time to be used by God. Some of you in this church right now, I believe revival's coming here, and you're positioning yourself in the right place at the right time. We have this big building. Let's use it. Let's go out and encourage all those to come in that need prayer. See, one time when we first started this church here, I thought about making a prayer place downtown on the strip, if we could find a place, little bitty place, prayer place, 24 hours a day, so strippers could come in and prostitutes could come in and drug addicts, and we could offer prayers for them 24 hours a day. Got to get radical. I didn't get off track like this in the other two services, I want you to know. This guy's got me fired up. See, I don't even know where I'm at now. Luke 16, 10 and 12. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who in the heck will trust true riches to you? Stay put. At age 22, I was called to be a youth minister by God. Ironically enough, in a little Pentecostal church, less than a half a mile from our big place now. I had no clue. And it was an old Pentecostal church, and I couldn't invite friends because it was kind of embarrassing. See, in the old Pentecostal church, they did stuff differently. We'd have worship in the morning, and I think our guitar player only knew C, D, and F. That's all he knew, three chords. And every song had to fit into those chords, or he would make them fit into those three chords. The piano player and organ player, they were off doing their own thing during worship. I don't think they even knew what song we were singing. And when we would start worship on Sunday morning, the pastor would come out and say, okay, who wants to lead worship this morning? Mary Lou, you want to lead worship? Yes. Mary Lou would get out of her seat and come up. She'd grab a hymnal. Let's turn to page 121 and we'll sing, Washed in the Blood of the Lamb. I was embarrassed. I was kind of the new breed, you know, going, this is kind of embarrassing. I can't invite people. And one day God spoke to me because while I was at that church, he spoke to me and he said, I want you to be faithful. Stop complaining. Submit to the leadership here. And here's what he said. And he said, someday I'll give you a chance to do it your own way. I received a vision in that little Pentecostal church that mounted to these 8 campuses and more coming today because we stayed put. Last. And I'm 5 minutes, I'll have you out of here. The wise men. They were seekers of truth, and God said, man, you show me a seeker of truth, and I'll get him in the story. I'll get him in the book. These guys wanted to know the truth. They were hungry. You say, how'd they hear about Jesus? Because they lived way over where the Babylonian Empire used to be, which is probably today modern-day Iraq or Iran or Syria. You know how they knew? Because we know for a fact, hundreds of years earlier, there was a young man named Daniel that was taken captive by the Babylonians, and he worked close to the Magi. We're told that. He was with the Magi all the time. And Daniel was so influential because Daniel actually saw God. Daniel actually had visions. Daniel saw angels and talked to angels. He was so touched by God that it influenced all these Magi. And they passed it down for generation after generation. They became students of the Word of God, and they were looking for the Christ child. Look at Deuteronomy 4:29. Now, if you saw the pretext to this, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, the people of God are in a bad way. They're going through all kinds of trials and tribulation. And God said, but from there, from where? From the trials and tribulation and all the problems you're involved in, from there, you will seek the Lord your God. He says, I know you like a book. Now that problems have come, you'll start seeking the Lord. And he says, you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. You will find him. He will let you find him. So who did God use? Four types of people. Here they are. People that didn't overly care about what people thought. People who were willing to obey God's word without knowing the results. People that were being faithful in small things. And people not afraid to seek for truth. I saw a video 2 weeks ago, and some of you are going to be amazed that this has absolutely nothing to do with spirituality. I saw this video, and because I like to laugh, I thought it was very, very funny. But I saw a message of this video. See, today we're called to be unique. We're called to be people who stand out. That's what's going to attract the world to us, because we stand out. In this video, you're going to see it's very funny. This guy is trying to dance to the world's dance and their drum beat. He doesn't have it. He's dancing to a different drum beat. Just look at this, and I'll explain, and we'll work our way out of this morning. Because I like to laugh, anything funny on the internet, I pull it up. But you know what I saw in that? These other three people was the world, and they're dancing. They've got the groove down because they practiced it a lot. He didn't have it down, but he's working right alongside of them. And he was very unique, and he was so unique that they thought he was kind of cool. They didn't put the video on social media because of their good dancing. They put it on because of him. Because he made it. And you know, I've come to see today, although we expect the world system and the people of the world system to hate us, the common average everyday person doesn't hate us. And as we serve the Lord, as we stand out, I think they find something almost attractive in that. We're not trying to be like them. That guy was enjoying himself being him, okay? And that's what made it cool. I've told you before, this happens to me all the time, whether I'm in a gym or supermarket, especially in the gym. Sometimes I go in, I want to work out, I don't want to talk a lot or whatever, and I'll see somebody, the Stairmaster, when I walk in. And I'll go by him and I'll go. And they'll laugh and they'll chuckle, but they know what I'm referring to. I haven't seen you for a while. I'll go by people and pat them on the back and say something goofy to them and say, I love you and God loves you more. Why is it wrong to have fun serving God? I've never had a person in the world hate me yet when I'm putting groceries on their table. I never had a person in the world hate me yet, no matter how ungodly they are, when I show up at the hospital and start crying with them and praying over their child. They don't hate me. See, the people that miss Christmas, the innkeeper missed Christmas because he was just too busy. Do you know that innkeeper, if he just would have stopped being so busy and have at least went down to the stable and asked him if he needed extra blankets or needed some water or something, he would have made it into the story. That's how simple God is, but he was too busy. Herod was afraid that Jesus would cramp his lifestyle, when in fact, he'll make your lifestyle 10 times better. And then the common average people, they didn't mean any malice toward the Messiah. They weren't even necessarily too busy for Messiah. They just didn't know. If you go on a trip with me to Israel, you'll be blown away. We'll walk down some of the main streets of Israel, ask teenagers, who is Jesus? And they'll say, I have no idea who that is. In Israel, a lot of teenagers do not even know the name Jesus. They don't even know who he was. The common average people today, they don't know anything about the kingdom of God. They don't know about Jesus. Do you know what's going on as you sit here? Did you know on December 10th, the Jewish people dedicated their new altar to the third temple, for the third temple? Go on the internet, look it up. They've made it mobile because they said their third temple's coming any time now, and they've already made an altar, and they dedicated an altar for slain animal sacrifice on December 10th of this year. They're getting ready for the third temple. Did you know the Dead Sea was just this last year? They found fish in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is 10 times saltier than the ocean, but the Bible says in Ezekiel in the last days there will be fish in the Dead Sea, and they're right now finding fish all over in the Dead Sea. They're finding them in pockets. Did you know, what was it, a month or two ago in Switzerland, a university? They made a big discovery, all the brainy people over there in Europe. They said, we now believe that every human being has come from one couple, one man and one woman. DNA, they've got the DNA. And they said, what was interesting about this? We don't know why. We know there was a cataclysmic event that happened that destroyed most of the animals on the earth and everything preceding that, which I believe in the gap theory, so take it for wherever you want. The average people miss the Christmas story because they didn't know. Had they known Messiah was being born, they might have made their way over to the stable. They didn't know. No one told them. I don't know why God had you here today. And I don't know how I go 7 minutes longer in this service than the other two. It's your fault. You're just noisy and you drag it out of me. When I heard you yelling during worship, I got excited. What do you think if we took 10 days in the spring and preached like this every night? And bring people in and get prayer lines going for the sick and the hurting. Would that be crazy? Something's being birthed here today, I'm telling you. I got a fire in that back room. I don't even want to stop. I want to preach another hour. I'm just getting warmed up here, see? Father God, Lord, I want to be a person that you use. God, I want to be in the story. I want to be in your story. When this book is printed, I want to be in it. And Lord, every person in here can be in it. They don't have to have a platform like this to be in the story. Lord, help us to leave here today knowing that we can be used by God. Right now, anybody in the building that says, Pastor, I came in here today and I'm not right with God, I'm telling you now, but I don't want to walk out of here without being right with God. Wherever you're at, would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to God and I want to serve you. I'm tired of living the way I'm living. I'm tired. I want to go into 2019 differently. Raise your hand up. Are you strong enough to be weak? God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you, buddy. Yes, God bless both of you here and over here. Yes. Yeah, back there, saw you, buddy. God sees it. God sees it. I want everybody in the house to pray this prayer and say, Lord God, forgive me for living life without you. Today, I'm turning my life over to you. Send the Holy Spirit. Come and live in my body and give me the strength I need to start following Jesus from this day forward. Thank you that I'm one of your kids now. And I'm not the same person that came in. God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sorry, I did keep you a whole 9 minutes longer in the other two services, but it's your fault, so you just blame yourself as you go home, okay? God bless you. See you here, there, and here.